Yeah, it's always fun to revisit the foundation wisdom and see what the older students have learned and check in on how well they can remember it and even explain it. So we started with a bit of what the first philosophy a new student should learn to begin the journey of awakening. And then we branched into the five types of Buddhism that appear, which is kind of like a prerequisite wisdom for before you start learning eternal wisdom. And then we touched on causation.
Causation went over the four categories: main cause, main supporting cause, timing, and all the other internal and external factors.
And then I think we gave some pretty cool practical examples and wrapped it up with a bit of a bit of a giggle. Yeah, I hope you guys enjoy it. Have fun.
Yeah, have a good day, guys. Yeah. Catch ya.
Buddhism tries to teach what's true for the entire system of existence in all time. Like, no matter whether it was a million years ago or now or a million years from now, it'll still be true. In all space, whether it's here, whether it's in Antarctica, whether it's in the water, whether it's in another universe, another planet,
another solar system, yeah. Still true.
Yeah.
If you don't want suffering, this is how life works.
Yeah.
Live in harmony with that system, suffering doesn't appear.
Yeah.
But if you don't know how that system works, like if I don't understand the road rules and I jump in a car and start fanging around, what's going to happen? I'm going to crash, yeah. I'm going to hurt myself, I'm going to hurt other people. But if I sit and learn how the road rules work and learn how the car works and understand where I'm going perfectly, I'll drive there, it'll be joyful. Get some good tunes going, play a little bit of I Spy, it'll be great. I won't hurt anybody, especially not myself or other life. So being aware of how something works, you're more likely to be able to not create suffering from it. And in Buddhism, they say all suffering appears because we don't understand how life works. So we live blindly. We live without ever understanding what is life. Like a fish swims in the ocean, never understood what was water. Just is born there and just that's what it is. And if you take it out of water, it's like, what the fuck is this place? So they say humans are like fish in the water without knowing what water is. We are born with a feeling of life is this. But that feeling could have come from so many, our parents, our society, our experiences, our upbringing. And we never really stop to observe where it's all come from. And we take that feeling as this is how life is. So if you grow up in a kind of dangerous area, you might feel life is fearful, life is scary. Yeah. If you grow up and you're safe and everyone's loving, you're like, what are you talking about? Life is great. Yeah. Everyone's loving, you know? And we've all come from these different angles and see the one reality from these different angles and take our angle as true.
Yeah.
When actually, it's not until you get all the angles mixing together and you're aware of all of them, then you understand a little bit more about life.
Yeah.
So that idea earlier of everything's cause and effect, action equals reaction. That's true in all time. It's true in all space. It's true for every angle. It's true for every case. So we would consider that eternal truth. That's part of the wisdom we learn because it fits that criteria, if that makes sense. And that's why that might be the very first thing after you understand which Buddhism we're talking about, we look at.
That's how we set it up. That was good. You got that.
Wait, just let me check those. That
are there any ways you might categorize or better understand causation?
Can anyone explain causation in more detail than just...
It's causation.
Cause and effect, or every action equals an opposite reaction. Can anyone give us a deep explanation of what is causation, how does it work, and how can we guide it?
Maren?
I can give you different types of causation.
I'd like to know different types of causation.
So the first one is main cause. That's the first type of causation. And you are your own main cause, so... happened because of something that you've done, I guess, in a way. Which I always struggle with. Pretty harsh.
Yes. Yeah.
What's the main cause again?
You are, as in yourself, your consciousness.
There's a word we're looking for, starts with an I.
Intention.
Intention is the main cause. Nothing ever happens. You don't ever do anything without intending to do it. Right? So I might, I think Sean's tea looks better than my tea. So my intention might be to get his tea. Right? But then I go, nah, that's just greedy, don't be silly. And I stick to my tea. So the intention to do it was there, but I chose not to follow it. Does that make sense? So there's four different layers to how we create each cause with our intention. And it's first you have an intention, and then you think or speak about it, and then you act on it. All right?
Yeah.
But nothing, we never do anything without having the intention to do it first.
No.
It might not be to do the exact thing we, like, I might want to go and, you know, help someone.
Yes.
I want to help them carry something, and then I drop it and I break it. I didn't intend to drop it and break it, but you know, I wasn't concentrated or whatever, you know.
Yes.
But I intended to pick that thing up. Mm-hmm. So I was there with that intention to put me in that moment to then be able to lose concentration and drop it. So intention, thinking, speaking, and action and is how we create the main cause.
The one consistent in every cause that's created for you is you, if that makes sense. You were there for all of it, you know what I mean? Yeah. Whether you did something or didn't do something, you were still...
Awesome.
Yeah.
Some things you don't have control over physically happening or manifesting, but I guess it's how you as an individual are receptive to that.
But you somehow ended up where that was happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in a way, your intention was still there. Okay. You can't say, someone else picked me up and dropped me there. You're like... Yeah. Ah, no, they didn't.
Well,
I totally intended to be there.
Put it this way. I'll use myself as an example. Many times when I was younger, I was hitting it hard in the party scene. And I might say, I got the intention not to drink or take drugs tonight. But then I would still go to a place where everyone else was drinking and taking drugs, and they'd be put in front of me like, oh no, you know, I'm such a victim. I say it wasn't my intention to do that, but... I still went ahead with all the other parts of doing it until I was there and was like, oh, how did that happen? You know, like,
damn it, now it's sunset and I'm just walking.
Sunrise
and I'm just walking.
Still don't think I'm going to sleep today. I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. They're a good set of years. No, not a good set of years. They're an interesting set of years. What was the second one?
So intention, thinking, speaking, and action equals main cause. The intention is the main one. Okay.
And supporting causes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, like, my intention could be to teach what I find so valuable and I've enjoyed and I've learned. But if students don't turn up, I'm just sitting here talking to myself, like, I like philosophy, it's great. So, I need supporting causes in people that want to learn. And the same, we could all want to learn philosophy. I could be like, oh, I really want to understand life. Without a teacher to teach me, I'm just kind of thinking to myself.
Yeah.
So, in everything that we do, we have the intention, and then something else supports that intention to appear in that moment.
Yeah. So in my negative example, I tried to make sure my intention didn't have the choice to do some party stuff, but then I chose main supporting causes that all were going to do that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's... Yeah.
Well, you supported it by going.
Yeah. Well, it gets pretty deep, but in that case, the main supporting cause you choose comes from your own intention.
Yes.
So for the intention and the supporting cause to be in the same place at the same time for the causation to run. So I can want to teach, but no one can be available at the time. I'm going to teach at midnight on Friday night. That's when my class is. I'll see you all there. No one, main supporting cause is like, dude, I'm in bed by then. And so no one wants to learn. So even though my intention is there, supporting cause and timing don't match up.
Right. You were born 50 years later.
Yeah. 50 years too late.
Yeah.
Intention, supporting cause have to all be in the same place at the correct timing or nothing will happen. And if you look at anything that exists, you go out and find a tree, it needs the seed needs to be in the soil. So the seed and the soil mix together with oxygen, sunlight and water all together at the same time or that plant won't grow into a tree. Our parents had to meet to create our body for it to be born and us to have food on time, always have oxygen, right amount of water, and then we grow to become what we are now. Nothing is born on its own, like exists, because everything is from a combination of other things at the right timing.
Yeah.
So timing is the third one. And there's the fourth one.
And the fourth one is all other supporting causes, direct and indirect,
yeah.
Which is the fact that the sun rose today.
Yes.
The fact that there's buildings here.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that none of us
The species Homo sapien exists on a place called Earth, which came, you know, exists in a solar system where the sun is directly far enough away from the sun for us to, you know, all of them.
Going back to the Big Bang.
Yeah. Yeah. And the black hole before it. So, you know, it's all there, you know.
And even for us, like for this class, you can follow it more like directly, which is like me and Sean had to have met when we were 16. Because then we met our teacher together and started learning together, which made it infinitely easier having a friend that was like, so he reckons we shouldn't go out on Saturday nights. Mm. And
yeah.
But the timing was that we met when we were 16.
Yeah.
And then all the indirect causes that led to us meeting. But because we met so long ago and met our Sifu 12 years ago and have been learning for long enough to... If I invite one of you guys to sit down here and try and teach this, you realize how much you actually aren't sure of the information you're explaining. When you sit here, all your fear kicks in and you're like, only what you know from here comes out clearly. Everything else is just a rambling mess. It's only because we have it that deeply that we've been learning it for so long through discipline that we can actually sit here and teach it. All that is what's called the direct and indirect cause and effect that led to that moment. So if you look back over your past and you change one little detail, your whole life would be so different. It might seem insignificant, like, meh.
Right.
So rather than just looking back, you can actually start looking, okay, what do I want to create for my future? When I'm ready to leave this body, this earth, what do I want to look back and have accomplished? What do I want? Because you read some people's last words, like I read Steve Jobs' last words. It was really sharp and wise, but from a point of regret, not from like living with that wisdom, but from looking at a lesson he can't undo. Like cause and effect is run and he's trapped in it and he knows he can't undo it. And he's looking back saying like, I was born into money and money was my whole life. And it's not, and I pushed away the people that loved me to get more of it. And I focused all my time on earning it and ignored all the people that cared about me. And now I'm on my deathbed. Money can't fix what I've got. And I've learned that no matter how much you spend on a wallet, it holds the same amount of money. Whether a $30,000 watch or a $10 watch, it still tells the same time. Whether a $100,000 automobile or a $500 automobile, it still drives you from A to B. And he said, all the things I valued, they're useless. They actually have no value anymore because he's facing a sickness that money can't buy health back. He can't buy time back. He can't go back and undo that causation. So in that moment, his words were like, I've been so stupid. Everyone envies me and thinks I'm this freaking awesome tech genius, but all I have is regret at how stupid I was for not valuing the true meaning of life. He valued the wrong things. And that's what's really easy to fall into. We think, I've got to save money. So we will discount on food to save money. But that food is the cause and effect that makes up your muscle tissue. And from that blind angle, it's like, I need to have money in the bank. But from a wise angle, you're like, I need strong tendons or I won't be able to do all the cool things I love doing. So taking care of your body, if you're wise, should be a higher priority. But I've seen old men that if I say, get on the ground, we're going to do some stretching, they look at me like I'm crazy. You watch them get down on their hands and knees and polish a Bentley tire, you know? Priorities all out of whack. If you try to tell them that, their mind just is like, they're full of that tea. They've got the wrong tea. The tea's making your body destroyed and you're in suffering. Trust me, try some orange juice. And they're like, I'm not finished my tea yet. The tea is meant to be the good one.
It's a metaphor.
Tea is the bad one. Orange juice is the good one.
Yeah.
Tea is delicious.
No, in the original one, Sifu says he's got the most amazing wisdom tea that if you drink it, you'll taste eternal joy. We've gone over a lot already, and it's interesting to see how much is retained. Let's just summarize them because there's a podcast going. We're summarizing the five different types of Buddhism that appear on Earth. The first one is
religion,
which is blind believing in a God that's going to change life for you. If life is cause and effect, no one else can do it for you. We have to learn to guide our own main cause. Number two,
culture.
You're born into it and you just follow it blindly. You don't question it. You don't ask. You don't learn. You just keep following it. Third one,
mental game.
Where you learn for the purpose of winning arguments and making people respect your knowledge, but actually you don't practice, you don't develop, you don't change your life, you just remember a lot of ideas and information. Actually, it gives you a headache, and it can give other people a headache. And you watch around, you see people, they look like they're concentrating a lot with their headache of memory. They're holding on to all this information. Information like that in your head doesn't make you feel happy. It doesn't release suffering. It gives you a headache. Actually, the ability to be able to do something and be something, that's where happiness is. So that's three, mental game, none of that. For greed. So learning, using Buddhism for profit, for your own personal gain and gain.
Yeah, it's a hell karma.
Yeah, it's not a good causation, that's for sure. And the fifth one, practical wisdom. Wisdom that is eternally true in all time,
in all space,
situation,
for every life
form.
Yeah.
All right? And you learn that wisdom to practice it and to make adjustments to your life to get rid of the
to intentions. Change your causations.
Yeah, to get rid of suffering and free from it. Cool? So that's the five types of good memory. Good memory.
Great work, everyone.
Yeah,
great work.
And then there was another philosophy we went over.
Causation.
Yes. So you can't have anything exist without all four of them at once. It's not that one can happen on its own. All four of those parts to causation need to exist for every moment. There's no, like, you can't cut the corners, you know? Four different types of causation, just rattle them off.
Main cause.
Second.
Main supporting cause. Timing. All the direct and indirect causation.
That covers everything, right?
Yeah.
Everything in the entire universe fits into one of those four categories, elements, parts.
Can be explained by.
So let's compare that. So if I asked you to explain life, can you give me anything as good as causation? With your own juice, tea, whatever it was. Do you see what I mean? Like, when you hear some deep eternal orange juice wisdom, you're like, actually, my tea's kind of crap. If you asked me to explain what is life, I'd be like, I'm paralyzed. I've got no answer. I can't explain it. But that's just one of many ways Buddhism explains all of life. Not just our life, my life, Sean's life, human life, or Earth. It explains every life that ever existed in all the eternal universe. And it, from when it was explained 2,500 odd years ago, and it'll still be true in another million years. That's how powerful their explanation of it is. Sometimes I'm like, cool, I'm ready to empty my tea. No problem. Other times I'm a little bit more like, no, I want to finish my tea. So, and you go through phases. Every day is another day. Every moment is another moment. Never repeats. So we're always learning to observe ourselves, how we're being, what we're being, and why. And we learn to purify it to create a new positive direction.